I'm here for the opening today. That's an improvement on yesterday. Time to shine. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. It is great to be with you on the home of sport. You may be listening through 1170 AM here in Sydney, 801 AM Central Coast, 1575 AM Illawarra, 1323 AM Canberra, 90.3 FM in Griffith. Queensland listeners taking us all over the place, all across the great state of Queensland. Great to have your company for this first hour with Daylight Savings. Good morning. And wherever you're listening on the SEN app this morning, give us a shout out on the McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170, or you can text 0457 736 736. Got some interesting topics to talk about this morning as we get into this sort of I guess it's a couple of weeks of limbo. We've got Rugby League World Cup around the corner. We've got A-League about to start. We've got NBL just kicking off. We've got the big racing happening. Also, good morning to you listening belatedly via the podcast. Don't forget, if you can't tune in live, you can listen via our podcast. Just search for Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on your favourite podcast platform and click subscribe so you never miss a thing. Just for our Queensland listeners, by the way, you're with us for the first hour until Patton Heels from 6 a.m. Queensland time. And this morning, Darren Lehman is filling in for Heels. So welcome along if you are listening in Queensland. Greg Alexander, my co-host, looking fit as a fiddle this morning. I mean, he's come through the celebrations. He's had his little hangover day, and now he's back and bubbling. Welcome, Brandy.
Thank you, Vossie. Good to see you here. Good to see you on time. And here, thanks, for the opening. There's Champions League action on too. Something you didn't talk about this morning. Plenty of it happening, which we'll update throughout the show. Have you ever heard of Andrew Thorburn? Do you know who Andrew Thorburn is? Well, now.
Only very briefly. What a reign he had as... You tell the story. The Essendon boss.
Yeah,
boss.
Became the Essendon boss 2 days ago. And yesterday, after just 1 day... in the role as the new CEO of the Essendon Football Club, resigned. So he resigned just 1 day after being appointed as the CEO. Controversial views relating to homosexuality and abortion have been tied to a church Mr. Thorburn leads. So he's a church leader, Christian church leader, and their views, apparently there have been some print about their views on homosexuality and abortion. So the Essendon board stepped in, said had they no prior knowledge of this before they appointed him, but has now resigned.
See, it seems ridiculous. On the face of it, just basically, if we just took what you've just said there, that they weren't aware of it. They weren't aware of it because he doesn't go out and shout it from the rooftops. I mean, spruik it, exactly. So he's been selected because of his business acumen and all the rest. Suddenly he becomes not qualified. We are getting very selective, aren't we, in our moral high ground, it would seem. I reckon a lot of people have a problem with this. You don't need to follow the AFL. You don't need to know anything about the Essendon club and the dramas they've had, but he steps in as CEO. But the actual, meat in this sandwich, I think we need to comment on. I mean, you have a view on that.
So it emerged that the church he leads has published a series of articles critical of homosexuality and abortion, and they gave Mr. Thorburn an ultimatum, and he decided to stand down. So, and his reply to that was, they made it clear that my Christian faith and my association with the church are unacceptable in our culture if you wish to hold a leadership position in society.
All right, how does this sit with everyone? 1300 01 1170, text 0457 736 736. I throw a hypothetical. You know, what if a player, a representative, it could be a rugby league player or a rugby union player, going to represent their country, and finds out, he goes to this church and this church has these views. Well, to be quite honest, if you want to go the nth degree, any Christian... I mean, well, does that mean that the seven Manly players? Let's tie in a real story.
We had our own version this year.
Yeah, do we ban them? Do we ban them because of the views of the church? It's the Christian view. So, I mean,
that'd be like Manly standing them down and saying, look, they're not our views, so you're gone. No,
that's right, you're gone. So, you can have your say on that. I mean,
Maybe it's a little bit different with a leadership role like the CEO. Maybe
he's not talking about it. But if he's not an active spokesman, I mean, as I said, anyone who worships the Bible or believes in the word of the Bible, then you are putting out these views which are contrary to much in modern society. Again, I don't want to get bogged down with religious debate for 3 hours this morning, Brandy, but this is yet another watershed moment in how things have changed and how selective we are. So anyway, there's that. Now, I do want to go to an incident on Grand Final Day, and nothing to do with the Panthers, nothing to do with the arrogant Panthers. The pitch invader. Who saw that coming out of left field? Did you see it happen live?
No, I didn't either.
No, didn't. Heard that the padding was being ripped off. But I saw a photo of the pitch invader, and I thought, well, that's interesting. He's wearing football boots. That was my only impression. I didn't look closely at the face, didn't know who it was. I thought, pitch invader is wearing boots, so he's come prepared.
He's got
boots to run on the field. Now, why do you have boots? Because Mark McLinden, the former Canberra star, he's very much for the environment and saving our kids. Thanks, Mark, for your troubles. Mm. And thought that Grand Final night was a good one. And his quote was something like, look, I want to apologise to all the players that, you know, on a night where they're achieving their dreams. Well, that's bloody right, Mark. So you should. Piss off. But choose your moment. But anyway, would it surprise you to know that he lives in Mullumbimby these days, Mark McLinden? couldn't see that coming.
Look, I don't like to generalise either, but yes, that doesn't surprise me after what he did. So his plan was to disrupt
the grand final. No, to stop the game. Yeah, not just he was ripping off the padding. Yep. He wanted to stop the game, but then later said, I wanted to apologise to the players. Blah 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 blah. Mm. Well, that's insincere.
So he did come prepared, and knowing that the surface was a little bit dewy, and in his ability to beat the security guards, he put the boots on. Apparently he put on a good right foot step to evade them early, but then...
a few flashbacks to his great days.
So, obviously, we've upgraded our security guards too because, we've seen pitch invaders, chased Waddy Holmes in the State of Origin. Mm. Like, Waddy was 120 kilos. They couldn't catch Waddy.
No.
So, obviously, there's been a step up in security in terms of their athletic ability.
Well, I'm looking at the photo now. I didn't realise the security guard is wearing boots too. He's got studs on.
Damn, that's smart.
Do the security guards, can you have different length of studs depending on the conditions, the dewy conditions and the rain? Would they have multiple boots, the security guards, to pick from? Is an issue.
Well, I guess, if it rained, they might need to bring the long sprigs.
Yeah, so I just will read the quote just so that we present it in all its in fairness. Mark McLinden said, I did not want to be an activist. I did not want to stop playing Grand Final night and jeopardise the childhood dreams of 34 players, not to mention the joy and excitement of hundreds of thousands of fellow footy fans, right? Mm. But, he says, the world's governments, including our own, are steering us into a rapidly unstable climate, the consequences of which we are already witnessing with floods, fires, droughts and heatwaves. Well, Mark, why couldn't you have done it outside the ground? Why, you did try and stop the game. You did rip the padding off the post and all the rest. So you said that you didn't want to do it, but you did it.
So he's been fined $5,000 and I think a life ban from a core stadium.
Yeah, that's it. $5,000.
Well, that's good. Good luck, Mark McLinden.
Well, if we want to stop people coming on, wearing football boots and all the rest, how about $25,000? What about $25,000?
That might make him take him down.
Yeah. 25,000. What's a fair fine? We'll put that out there. We'll put that out. What is a fair fine for the pitch invader?
Mm. Like, now, talking
what's a
fines,
fair figure?
Yep. Yeah. I don't know. Well, 10,000. I think 10,000 would make them think about doing it.
Yeah, going 25.
Five, you can sort of, you could live with five. Yeah. I tell you, you can't live with four. That's Ryan Madison. So now, Ryan Madison had the option. Mm. To take a fine, which was a $4,000 fine, which does sound steep. Is that one of the bigger fines that we've had this year? Like, normally they seem to be around the 2,000 mark, 1,500.
Well, I think Jared Hargreaves in total had about 12,000 fines this year, but that's multiple.
Yeah, multiple. But I'm talking one-off. That's as big as I've heard.
Yep.
So he's decided to waive the fine and sit out three games.
How does that work? Does that mean he still gets his contract money? Now, Ryan Madison, what signed, if you believe Wayne Bennett, they threw at him about $650 a year. So he's on, what, about $600 at Parramatta? $600,000. So does he still get his contract money for those 3 weeks he's not playing and doesn't pay the fine? So he doesn't pay fine out of his own pocket.
Yeah.
And Parramatta still pay him for 3 weeks he doesn't play. They would pay him, wouldn't they? Because he's still got to be training.
Yeah, well, they would. Yeah, they wouldn't. They wouldn't
that?
Dock him. I don't think
pay the fine.
Players don't. Yeah, players don't. I don't think players get docked money for suspensions unless it's a big one. Like unless it's a 10-week suspension, you're missing half the year. So,
it's a weird one.
But can Madison serve those? Because I know we had some chat about it this year about which games players could serve suspensions in.
Man.
Can they serve them in a regulation trial, or is it just in the Charity Shield and the All Stars?
I don't think you can serve it in the regulation trial. Tyrone May, with his suspended sentence, cannot serve those two games in the... Taylan May cannot serve those two, nor can any player. Others.
But
that,
you used to be able
so,
to.
Tane Milne might. Yeah.
You used to be able to serve them in sanctioned NRL trials.
Yeah, but you're saying because now we have these actual... You know, it's not Mickey Mouse trials necessarily. It's two weeks of organised trial matches.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, whatever happens, he will at least miss a competition game.
Yeah.
And probably Matt, two.
Do you respect what Ryan Madison has done? That he will still be paid by the club. So your membership money, you're part of the.
No,
pool of
I don't.
Revenue that a club spends, and part of that money goes to pay Ryan Madison 3 weeks where he doesn't play for the club, but he won't pay out of his own kick a fine.
Let's just say he's on $600,
yeah.
So he's not going to pay the $4,000 fine.
That's right.
To make himself available for three games
to now, play.
It
to do
might
his job.
Turn out, yeah, he might turn out that he's gone for three competition games. So he's missing the first three rounds of the NRL because he won't pay a $4,000 fine? No, I find that bizarre.
Staggered by it. Parramatta fans, all league fans, have you said, were you even aware this was a possibility? You know, you look at other charges and think, well...
Well, how can so you be could... facing a three-week suspension, yet also, but have the option to pay a fine?
So you like say you could buy your way into a grand final. Like if you had a suspension... And could you then go to the league and say, well, how much is it worth?
Well, I think it's only
you know,
for grade
one. Can you give me a fine
one.
Instead?
Yeah, no, I think the grade ones are the only ones that carry that option. And he was a grade one crusher.
And can I be frank? The tackle got 3 weeks, Brandy. What was that about?
Yeah, but why?
It was almost like, you know, it's just the old feel in the back of the neck. Like Dylan Edwards, is he in a neck brace today? Like, how did he get 3 weeks? In light of other incidents that we have, how did that get 3 weeks?
No, I've got no idea.
Because
a grade one crusher doesn't carry a 3 week suspension, does it?
No.
Like it's not a 3 week.
We'll have to do a bit more digging on that one. It's just weird from all angles. But
the match review committee has confused me for most of the year. So why not finish
Brent,
the year with a bang?
My headline. Brandy admits bamboozled by match review committee for one
and
entire
the
year
rules.
And is seeking help as a result. So there you go. Back to Mark McLinden. He thanked the security guards for doing their job too. That was a lovely little concession by him. Very reasonable, the people of Mullumbimby, once you get talking to them. Very reasonable. James Fisher-Harris has responded to his critics on social media. This is the quote. I'm cool with the players, and the area is not bad. Just trying to keep the rivalry alive. I hold up more respect for those players gone before me, us, so don't get it twisted. End of quote.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, that's fine. It's all, and I've said many times, Bossy, I said it yesterday. I've got no problem with James Fisher-Harris saying that they're the greatest Panthers team ever because, you know, when you look at the facts, they are. Mm. They are.
He was speaking for the moment. He was speaking for the moment again.
That's right.
You know, the whole thing, absolute storm in a teacup. He was speaking to the flock, full of drink, the day after the grand final. Mate, the crowd would have cheered if he did fart noises under his arm. Just got up there. They would have cheered. They would have, yay! What a poor role model. Yeah, he could have done anything. He could have got out juggling balls. You know, they were going to cheer. He was preaching to the masses of Penrith fans.
Do you think it's gone a little bit too far where the headline reads, "Please NRL save Penrith from itself"? Do you think that's a little bit over the top?
Yeah, it's a bit over the top. That's I don't think they need saving, the Panthers. In fact, as a rugby league fan since I was a little kid, I love champion teams. I love champion teams. Gee, time flies when you're having fun, just talking through some of the incidents. So we've touched on that. Cricket, Tim Payne's back. Tim Payne is back. We've got news out of the Shield match over in Perth. There's a young star over there playing for WA that you're going to have to get your head around. We'll give you that story as well. Australia taking on the West Indies tonight up on the Gold Coast. And just in football, Ukraine is set to be part of Spain and Portugal's joint bid to host the 2030 World Cup. Under the move, which has been sanctioned by Ukraine's president, Mr. Zelensky, the war-torn country would host one of the groups in the tournament.
Well, they've got 8 years. They've got 8 years to get it together.
Yeah, that's true. That's
like, surely, can we step up the Ben Teo campaign? It's like, something really needs to happen. Like, if the World Cup's going to be in Ukraine in 2030, you know, Putin needs to be taken out, and I think Ben Teo is the man.
Well, that's a big statement, too. There's another clickbait headline from Alexander. He's got a lot of bobs up on CNN's website. That's just fantastic. So, Ukraine, has that got an appeal to you? Do you think, is that where you want to go? Saudi Arabia is going to have the Asian Winter Games. I found that interesting, coming up. They've been granted the Saudis. They're making snow.
Well, Qatar is hosting the World Cup in a couple of weeks. So,
It's a strange world. 21 after 6, have you say, and all those topics we've just touched on, if you're up there in Mullumbimby listening, you want to come on, by all means, do it. Ramp it up here on Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on the home of Sport SEM.
On the text line, the Tathra Eagle says, Ree Madison's fine. Option was bought in by the NRL for finals, and he has two previous offences this year, which is why he copped 3 weeks. Exactly right. Despite the grade one nature of the offence, it's his third offence this season. And under rules applied to final series, all players receive one extra finable offence at grade one level. That means he had the option to accept the $4,000 fine. If he didn't want to pay it, well, then he can cops the 3 weeks. So that was brought in. If Ryan Madison did that in week one of the finals, he could pay the fine and not miss any finals game. So they place more importance on the final series, and, of course, the grand final. You don't want to miss a grand final through a grade one charge.
Right.
So that was why it was brought in. I didn't know about
this
final series.
This is the grand final. Now, it's not. There's no more finals matches to be played, yet he still had the option. Is that right?
I guess you can't exclude the grand final.
This doesn't pass the pub test, though. But no, the games, we're giving him the option now on club games, on regular season matches, not finals matches.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
If the premise was it's brought in for week one of the finals so you don't miss finals matches, there's no more finals matches after the grand finals. So that doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all, Brandy.
You are speaking common sense, Andrew.
Policy on the run. This is policy on the run, Brandy.
Come on, it's the NRL.
Come on, Minister. Come on, Minister. You know, something's got to be done about this. This is really, really bad. Here's a little quiz question for you. I've got some great text there. Pitch invader fine should be public castration at the next grand final as pre-game entertainment. Michael, imagine that. Jimmy Barnes singing over the top of public castration. That would be interesting. Thank you, Michael. Shepherd. Shepherd would be good over the top of that, I think. Hey,
would they?
Geronimo. Hey, and the name.
Is that Shepherd?
Yeah.
Geronimo.
That's the only Shepherd.
Pretty good. Got any more? Have they?
No.
Shepherd got it?
No.
Andrew says, morning men, nothing surprises me with Ryan Madison. He has no integrity, just like look what he did at the West Tigers.
Wow. That's heavy stuff there. For pitch invaders, Rooster Man says $20,000 and 6 months fruit picking with a farmer. There's a little bit out there. Throwing a little deal in there. If you pitch invader, nice stuff. Good morning, boys. Speaking of floods and rains, other natural events, Mona Vale Road heading towards Macquarie is flash flooding everyone. Please drive safely. Yeah, the rainstorm's coming. The superstorms, Brandy. 5 days of it. 5 days of it.
Vossi, seriously. I've got a weekend. Actually, I've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Foster for a sevens rugby tournament. Not me. I'm not playing. One of my boys is, Bo, the 15-year-old. And I was thinking, should we just, why don't they just call it off now? Because it will be washed out.
Mate, we've got a birthday party outside, laser party. Got to make a call on that. Tough one, Saturday.
Yeah, kids invited. That's a tough one.
Buying the ponchos today. Toughen up, kids. Jay the Bookman, Jake of the Day. What have you got Wednesday, middle of the week, hump day for some? Queensland listeners probably haven't heard the Jake of the Day. So this is big, Jay. This is potentially your biggest ever audience delivering your Jake. Don't get nervous. Just do your job.
Yeah, a mate was explaining in elaborate detail about what's involved with his work, all about drilling holes in metal sheets and connecting those sheets with metal pins. Riveting.
Very good. Thank you, Jay. Thank you. Your day can continue. You've passed the test. Here comes the news.
Vanessa, thank you. We're here thanks to Bryden's Lawyers, experts in slip and fall compensation claims. This part of the show is where you can have your say. Text us on 0457 736 736 or call us on the McDonald Jones open line. Call 1300 01 1170. Save thousands on your dream home with McDonald Jones birthday sale on right now.
Now, what Vanessa just said there, don't let that slip by. SEN, superb coverage of sport, and tonight it is Australia and the West Indies cricket. Get around it. We have the rights to the Football World Cup every game, Brandy. How good is that going to be? We've got the Rugby League World Cup. I'm going over the Rugby League World Cup this time next week from the Coalface, reporting there. So, SEN, we're all over sport. Just, I ask you a question that's got something to do with the topics we've just spoken about. Who is Nicholas Puran? Ever heard of Nicholas Puran?
No. I'd never heard of Andrew Thorburn, the Essendon CEO.
Yeah, well, that's understandable. Nicholas Puran is the captain of the West Indies T20 side. I've never heard of Nicholas Puran, to be honest. There we go.
They're playing tonight.
Yeah. Up at Carrara. Or is it called Metricon? Is that right? The Queensland listeners will confirm that for me. Metricon, I think, is the name of the stadium there at Carrara. Christopher Skase built it, didn't he? Who paid for
right.
it?
Right. Who would know? I think he did. He didn't pay for it. No, he just built it.
Gold Coast played there in the rugby league as well.
Yeah. Okay. Nicholas Puran. I'll keep an eye out on him for
question
here.
Game, does Alan Jones write Jay's jokes? That's an interesting little consortium. If that's the truth, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. He might be a contributor.
What would be the tie in there with Alan and Jay?
Books. Love of books.
Right.
I think we should go straight to the McDonald Jones open line, 1300 01 1170. After all the grand final, who saw this coming? And that's been the text. Like, how did we know this Mark McClendon? It's a really weird story that and not just anyone. He wasn't just a bit part player. Mark McClendon, he won the Dally M Rookie of the Year. At his best, he was outstanding.
Yeah, he was very good. Very quick.
Very good. Yep, so he goes out on grand final night and is a pitch invader. John, a point. Claire wants to buy into the discussion on the McDonald Jones open line. John, you're opening the batting on the open line this morning. What have you got about this one?
Well, I'm coming out of left field here now. I'm against sensationalistic headlines and storylines in any form of sport. Mm. But it seems to me that everybody, whether they're a past or present player, they're depicted as a star. Now, you sort of hit me there while I was waiting to be put through. You're talking about Mark McClendon's playing career, but the media tend to refer to everybody as a star.
Mm. Yes.
Now, what constitutes a star?
Yes, that's a good point.
Yeah, that is a good point. And you do see headlines, like when someone's committed some sort of an atrocity and the headlines are rugby league star commits, and then you read the story and go, I've never heard of this bloke. Where's he played one game 10 years ago or something. So, John, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a pretty good call. Just for the record, Brandy, you can play the birthday game. This is a twisted. Mm. What year did Mark McClendon play his last game for the Canberra Raiders? That's a really tricky one.
Gee, it's hard to get a timeline on things. Yeah, I'm going to say 2012.
2004.
Right. Wow. 20 years ago.
It's a long time ago. John, just while you're there, do you love the headlines when they talk about wag of former rugby league star? And the rugby league star was a Ron Massey Cup player, and the wag is an influencer on Instagram with, you know, 600 followers. Do you like those sort of stories?
While I'm still here, I sometimes hear the term superstar. That must be the next level.
Yes, it would be. Yeah.
Or so supermodel.
Superstar, I think, you know, that's allowed to be used if you've played 10 or more first grade games, NRL games. That's superstar status.
Mark McClendon, just for the record, John Cicifini, to give him credit where it's due, he was the NRL Rookie of the Year in 1998, Mark McClendon. And then after he finished with Canberra, he went over to England for 4 years. He played 4 years there. And then he played for the Queensland Reds in rugby union. That's his last high-profile sport. He played 3 matches for the Queensland Reds in 2009.
So what did he play? Over 100 games for Canberra?
Over 100 games? Yes, 165. Oh, yeah.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, there's plenty. That's a lot in a short space of time. He barely missed a game. 65 tries. Mm. There you go. A bit of Mark McClendon. As I say, does it surprise you he lives at Mullumbimby these days? Colin of Warwick Farm is there for you, Brandy.
Colin, g'day.
G'day, fellas. Earlier on, I heard you tarring all the Christians with the same brush, saying that all Christians sort of believe the same thing. There's more Christians than there are teams in the league and with varying views, and fundamentalists are sort of in the minority, I think, in a lot of places. So, the man from Essendon, I think you said it was his own views, not Christian views that he was talking about. So,
you should
be careful of tarring everybody with the same brush.
Okay.
Yes, no, but I will pick you up there. We'll pick up the ball and run with it here, Colin. That I'm saying in that broadly, in that situation, if a person is appointed to a job, is seen as the number one candidate. They've appointed him. He got the position for a day. Now, obviously, in the interviews, and it's not widely known at all that he's part of this church that has these views, or that's part of the views of the church, and they've put out literature of that kind in the past. Well, he obviously doesn't shout it from the rooftops or whatever. The fact that they didn't know, I mean, does that mean you bring it up if the person says, oh, do you believe in the Bible? Is that the last question that we ask at a job interview to play first grade rugby league or to have a position in power in sports administration? Surely not. Surely not. That's got nothing to do with it.
Representative of the board said they couldn't ask him that question during the interview, and that's why it came out afterwards. But they're trying to avoid the controversy, not denigrate his views, I'm pretty sure.
David Barham, who was the president, said, I want to stress that neither the board nor Andrew was aware of the comments from a 2013 sermon until we read about them this morning. So a 2013 sermon. Now, I'm if Andrew wasn't aware of them either. This is Andrew Thorburn. Obviously, he didn't make those comments. Else in the church has made comments back in 2013, re-homosexuality and abortion, and they've been picked up, and now he's without a job.
Thank you for the call. America's dealing with that. I don't know whether you follow the American, this fellow Herschel Walker, running at the moment.
Herschel Walker.
Herschel Walker. Yeah, and he's a fair dinkum. How's this country? How could he be a candidate for anything? But he's got up there, and he always quoting God, always quoting the scriptures, and he's against abortion. It's now been revealed that he paid for an abortion with his girlfriend in 2009. Well, that's alleged in 2009. So it's a very, very delicate situation there around Herschel Walker. I've got to say, potentially the dumbest candidate I've ever seen run in politics anywhere in the world, Herschel Walker. He comes across as the dumbest candidate
ever. And is it the Herschel Walker?
Yeah.
Is it the former NFL?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you got to watch some of the clips. They produce
some good ones over there, don't they?
We should probably run him. We could have daily thoughts of him.
Now, Darren from Ingleburn says, morning, boys. If Madison had his charge last week, I bet he pays the fine to play the grand final. Makes you wonder if he scheduled to have off-season surgery that may keep him out the first couple of rounds? Or is he just tight with his money? Well, that's another spin.
Know.
That's another spin. that he could be out, could be missing the early rounds through surgery. So we don't know that, Darren. That could be a reason why he's not paying the fine. Because if it's not, if he hasn't got surgery and he's not scheduled to miss the opening three rounds, I find it, I can't believe that you wouldn't pay a $4,000 fine
to
play.
Not when you're on such good coin. Kev of Camden's come in with a beauty. Hey, VB, on pitch invasions, yes, increase the fines, but let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater, which I think is a terrible saying. It needs to be a sliding scale with a complex algorithm based on how well-dressed you are and who you are. Okay, now stay with me. This is Kev of Camden. He says, for example, Hindy in a G-string, $25,000 fine. Hindy fully clothed, $5,000 fine. $5,000 as opposed to $25,000. Sophie Monk in a dress, $5,000. Sophie Monk streaking nude, let off with a caution. Very complicated algorithm, this.
Yeah.
And he also says, drunk premiership winners can hang as much crap on the other teams as they like. That's one of the perks of being champions. That's a simplistic, a beautiful simplistic view. Well done, Kev. I agree to that.
I don't know, but here's one from the Pearl, and he's just on the back of Andrew Thorburn, the Essendon CEO, who stood down after one day. The Pearl says, in society today, you are allowed to have your beliefs as long as they don't offend anyone. But, of course, everyone is offended by everything. In fact, if you're not offended by something, that in turn is offensive.
That's right. You're dead.
It makes me dizzy.
Yeah, that's right. That's so true. Another great text. Gee, our listeners are on the money today. They are on point, as we say. And just in relation to streakers, so do we have any leeway for pitch? Oh, I said streak for pitch invaders. Is there any? Because I do remember a game at ANZ Stadium in Brisbane, and our Queensland listeners, there may be some if they remember this particular day. It's a hot, sunny afternoon, Sunday afternoon game. Well, it might have been a Saturday afternoon. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's a day game. And a woman comes on the field, nude, except for one piece of apparel. She has a giant blow-up rubber hand. You know, the big finger. Well, those big hands she had.
Yeah.
She's allowed to run the length of the field. No security guards going near her. She gets down to the in goal, and the crowd is going nuts. Everyone's laughing and cheering. It's the greatest pitch invader of all time. The security guards don't rough her up. They grab her. But she's raising the hand. She's raising the big hand, the big finger up. One of the security guards grabs her arm and pulls the giant inflatable hand and puts it over her bottom half, front half. So there's dignity. Chivalry was alive and well that day. She marched off with a giant inflatable hand covering up the bottom half.
So the security guards pick and choose.
That's right. They pick and choose
who they tackle, who they rough up.
So Kevin Camden might be right. The Sophie Monk algorithm could be true.
Yep. Could be acceptable. Now, the law says that you can't discriminate against someone on religious grounds as well as race, gender, etc. So Thorburn is being discriminated on religious grounds. By the way, he was recent the CEO of the NAB. So he's a heavy hitter. CEO of the NAB.
NAB.
Dave from Old Toongabby.
The NAB obviously didn't care. Quarter to seven. Brandy's finance report still to come. It's going to be very controversial this morning. Hard hitting. And a sports update. No Michelle Bishop today. We'll give you the story. That's breaking news in just a moment.